Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
I'm going to start with 1 Thessalonians 5:23, please. Paul is wrapping up this letter to the Thessalonians. He says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay? And really what I want to point out here is this concept of being a three-part being. A human being is a three-part being. It's spirit, soul, and body. And we who are earthbound, and we study the vertical aspect of life, we know probably quite a bit about the soul and the body. The soul is your mind, your brains, your will, your intellect, your emotions, all of those kind of things. And brain science is like a thing, right? So scientists would say, and I think, you know, they're obviously right about this, the brain has been mapped extensively, left brain versus right brain, okay? The left brain is thinking in the words, sequencing, linear thinking, logic, mathematics, facts, all of these kind of things. Right brain, people would say they're more feelings-oriented, feelings, visualization, imagination, intuition, rhythm, holistic thinking, and the arts come from the right brain. And there's been a study done, a two-year extensive study, because they would say that you either favor your right brain or your left brain, depending on maybe your gender, depending on what, you know, type of person you develop to become. And they found out that's basically not true. That your right brain and left brain are always in communication with each other. There are always pathways. And they've done these EEG, extensive EEG, brainwave things, finding out where your brain waves are being derived from. And they found out that's really not true, that right brain, left brain thing. That there's this consistent pathways are built. There's a wonderful thing called neuroplasticity, and that means that if your brain suffers some kind of problem in one area, that you can actually develop new routes. That your brain, your inner intelligence, your subconscious intelligence is brilliant enough, and it takes work, but you can develop new routes of thinking and being and things like that. And that's why, really, Christianity, see, what we have here is a picture of the brain, which is the body, but the brain sort of contains the components that we know of as the soul, right? All of these kind of thinking, feeling kind of things are centered in the brain, right? What it doesn't really have any reference to is the spirit. And the spirit is within the subconscious, is connected with the subconscious aspect of the soul. And the prophetic connection that we have with God, see, this is where This is where Christianity sort of short-circuits science, because prophetic information, or information that comes from God, rewiring our brain with the Word of God, which is an intellectual process, which is a strictly an academic process, learning the Word of God, and then opening our soul on the what we call the right side of our brain to sort of allow our faith, our believing, which we would consider to be more more a right brain activity, more connected with our imagination, those things fuse together, but it's our soul that is the spirit that's the artesian well of God that speaks today's truth. See, this is called the Logos. This is the ever-established, settled truth of God. You can read this and believe this, and you can be a believer. You know, you can just read the book and believe the book, main truth, plain truth, plain truth, main truth, all that kind of thing. But there is also an artesian well that Jesus has said, you know, Jesus has offered us, which I said last week, the greatest challenge in Christianity is to believe that you can access power that you never dreamed possible. Power that's beyond the power of a normal human being. Power that comes from God. You shall receive power. Jesus said, you shall receive power, dunamis, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then, he says, you'll be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So until that power, that artesian well, that Holy Ghost power connects, and you get that dimension of body, soul, and now spirit, now you have the opportunity to as many as received him, the Bible says, he's given the opportunity to become the sons of God. So now we have the spirit. Now our function is to invest ourselves in the spirit. So God wants us to be sanctified, spirit, soul, and body. So the person who, you know, listen, God wants us to continue to keep improving. Yeah? That's what he's saying. Spirit, soul, and body. Your soul, I don't care how many scriptures you know, the devil knows more scriptures. I don't care how many you know. I don't care if you've got almost the entire Bible memorized. He knows more scriptures. So knowing scriptures doesn't mean you're sanctified in your soul.
Right.
However, it's a good start. However, it's a good start. I mean, you should know scriptures, you should read scriptures, you should have the Word of God, but you should always allow the Word of God to antagonize you. Because there's nothing that should antagonize the human being like the Word of God. It's like, man, I don't like it. You said that, God. Give it to my enemies? That's counterintuitive. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So now we're going to go to Habakkuk 2. Are you with me?
Habakkuk 2 says, I will stand my watch. I will stand my watch. Listen, I will stand my watch. And I will set myself upon a rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. And what I will answer when I am corrected. I gotta wait to see. You ever wonder what you would do in a really dangerous situation? If the enemy shot, if you would go into a fetal position, or would you shoot back? Do you run away from the problem or run toward the problem or do nothing in paralysis? He says, I have to see, I have to watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. I don't even know me. But when he corrects me, I gotta watch how I respond when he corrects me. Whether I throw it out, that's not God, right? vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. You know, and that's where you find out what the main and plain truth of the gospel is. What does Jesus say over and over and over again? I think the most important thing that Jesus ever said is that if you don't forgive, neither will your sins be forgiven you. Nothing harder, there is nothing harder in the world than to be forgiving to those who have genuinely hurt you. Are you with me? Nothing harder than to truly love and not hold people in the prison of your heart in bitterness. Especially the older you get. And forgiveness is such a free get out of jail free card. Because once you release them, you realize you've been set free. You're holding them in prison, but you're the one that's been in chains. Make the vision plain. Write it on tablets that he may run who reads it. So, you know, like in our church, for example, we do have written vision somewhere around. Most of it we're doing. Why is that? So we can run together. Why do we have a CAP program that gives food to needy people so we can run together? Because Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will then be given to your bosom in this life. For with the measure that you meet, it will be measured back to you. Are you with me? Make it plain. What do we do? Why are we doing this here? Because we love God above all things. Why take every Sunday? I make people crazy with this. Why do I go to church every Sunday? Because I'm free to. Say, oh man, you're in bondage to that church. We go to church every. Oh my gosh, I get to go to church every Sunday. I made a promise to me. Because I love Jesus, I'm not missing.
Oh yeah, you're bondage.
No, I'm free. No, I'm free to be here. And if I'm on vacation somewhere, or I'm off doing something somewhere, and I can't make it to this church, because this is my church, because God put me here, this is my church. You don't say, oh, kid, I want to go to Walmart this week, and I'll go to Kohl's next week, and I'll go to Sam's Club the week after. That's not church. Church is family. It's connectedness. It's relationship. It's life together. The Lord answered and said, write the vision. What's your vision? When I fell asleep on the floor, woke up 6 o'clock in the morning, what's my vision? I want to be like Jesus. I want to be just like Jesus. That's my vision. I don't know what your vision is. I want to be like Jesus. I am not very much like Jesus. But I'm more like Jesus than I was when I started. And I think I'm more like Jesus than I was 5 years ago. You get what I'm saying? It is a growing. It is a journey. It is a traveling. Make a plan on tablets that he may run who reads it. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. What does that mean? You know, I've told you this before, but I was... Years ago, I was only saved for a couple or 3 years, but I prayed and praised into my car. I used to praise in my car. The cassette tapes used to be the thing we had back in those days. I will explain it to you, younger folks. It was this ancient technology. And I was just probably Integrity praise tapes, listening and praising the Lord in my car. And there's a place down in the Hudson Valley that I can show you right now. It's called Sandy Plains Road in the town of Leeds. And there's a place where it breaks out into this beautiful vista of the Catskill Mountains. And I always loved looking at the Catskills. I was raised in the Hudson Valley.
and always loved to look at the Catskills Vista. Sunsets were beautiful. All just really, they changed every day. The Catskills, beautiful. And this day I was just praising God, just by myself and singing. And that's, I mostly do that by myself because I've never been able to draw an audience in that capacity. All of a sudden, everything lit up, but the Catskill Mountains lit up to me. I promise you this, they lit up to me like a child's nightlight, illuminated from the inside, you know, those nightlights that they have? They were like glowing, but it was, you know, I was normal, I wasn't myself, I didn't have some out-of-body experience or anything, but it was definitely a supernatural moment. It was definitely a prophetic moment, and I just gushed with just happiness and joy and praise and worship. And it was 3 to 5 years before I ever even knew that there was a place called Margaretville, very honestly. And I was up here probably for a couple of years before I remembered that vision. That I had a vision of the Catskill Mountains. That I had a vision of the glory of God in the Catskill Mountains. And who would know that these years later, I will be here now 29 years, right? Seeing the miracle of God in thousands of people's lives. And I couldn't be happier that the Catskill Mountains are glowing with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Write the vision down. Remember those prophetic moments. But if you don't set yourself and stand and watch for what he wants to say to you, you won't know how you're going to respond when you're corrected. And sometimes that correction is just redirection. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for the appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And it says in verse 4, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. The just shall live by his faith. Enter Jesus. Where is your faith, Peter? You're thinking. Where is your faith? Jesus saw them when they lowered the paralytic down on the bed.
They took the roof off of the place and they lowered the guy down in front of Jesus, because there were crowds thronging all around Jesus. How are we going to get to Jesus? The only way is to poke a hole in the roof and lower our friend down. All of a sudden, Jesus is in the front row, or this paralytic guy is in the front row. And four guys are looking down. Ha ha. And it said, when Jesus saw their faith, they were successful in getting their friends in front of Jesus. You know what he said to them? Did you see? Rise up and walk. No, Pharisees are standing right there. There are Pharisees are always there. Jesus said to him, son, your sins are forgiven you. The four guys go, what? That's not what we brought him for. The Pharisee says, who do you think you are? Only God can forgive somebody's sin. Hint. He says, he's saying that because of the hardness of your heart. You had a sheep, and he was stuck on the Sabbath. Wouldn't you go and set him free, even though it was a Sabbath? Rhetorical question, such an obvious answer. He said, son, take up your bed and rise and walk. Your faith has made you whole. Are you with me? Do you see how it works? See, it's right brain, left brain, no brain, spirit. Boom. Cuts through it all. All of your smarts. So an Ethiopian shepherd can be as wise in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ as you or me or any person with their advanced seminary degrees. God bless them all when they study the word and they give us sound doctrine. They're necessary, and I applaud them for it.
Are you with me? I'm not taking away from anything from anybody, but your calling is just as valid as his calling. You're not somehow a lower Christian, and Pastor Bob is a higher Christian. That's wrong. That's wrong thinking. You're just as close to Jesus as me. The difference between you and me, I will stand and watch. I will stand upon the rampart and watch to see what he will say. Just shall live by faith. I become so convinced. I used to ask myself, I remember praying with such a divided heart early on in my faith, saying, Lord, I believe this stuff, but everything I've ever learned in my life is against this. Science tells me it's not true. Philosophy has told me it's not true. Experience has taught me it's not true. The people who are around me, the men that I have esteemed, have explained to me it's not the real world. It's not how real life works. Everyone has told me how this is not true. Please help me to believe that it's true with every fiber of my being. Because when you connect with Jesus, that's all you ever want. Right? I just want to go back to verse 1 again. I will stand my watch. I will set myself upon the rampart. And I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Set myself. I will stand firm. I will be immovable in this position for the purpose of standing watch. This is guard duty. This is standing watch. You know, we came through airports, and I they put you through the machine. You have to hold your hands up, and it goes whoop, and it tells you if you've got stuff on you. And there are just hundreds of agents all over, TSA agents all over. And you know, every once in a while, somebody still slips by. Heard a story about like a 7-year-old kid who made it to a gate or something like that without ever going through the checkpoint. You understand this porous, and all of these people are paid to stand guard and stand and watch. It's an amazing thing. Which of God's opportunities have slipped by you because you weren't watching? You say, but I pray. I know you pray, but do you watch? I know you pray, but do you watch? I know you pray for what you want. I know you pray for stuff, but do you watch? Because watching is a thing. I said last week about stretching. It's stretching to find the consciousness of God. Connect with the consciousness of God with your own consciousness. It's knowing that he's there and he wants to communicate with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to speak to you. You have to want to know him, the invisible God. So a rampart is a defensive wall, a castle, a walled city having a broad top and a walkway and typically a stone parapet.
In the Hebrew, that word for rampart means something hemming in objectively a mound, a siege, a distress, a fastness, besieged, a bulwark, a defense,
fenced in, fortress, siege, all of those things. You are under siege from all of the forces of the world. Every voice of the world is attacking you in a 360-degree circumference around you. You're being hammered by the voices of the world. But God's voice doesn't come from the world. God's voice comes from above. So when we set ourselves upon a rampart, we're gazing into God's eternity. Through knowledge of his word, we're gazing into his eternity. We're opening our heart not to some great nothingness, but to the God of the Bible, whose son Jesus Christ has died for our sins. You will experience God this year. Jesus, this is, you know, I can go probably... I don't know, however many proof texts, but most importantly, Jesus in Matthew 26:40 says that this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he says, hey, okay, you guys, wait for me. I got to go ahead and pray a little bit. And then he comes back to them. I think it's like three different times. And every time he comes back to them, what are they doing? They're sleeping. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not spend one lousy hour in silence seeking the Lord that's above? Jesus said, go into your closet, and he who sees in secret will reward you openly. Getting it? How it works? Yeah, but what do I do? You know, I used to say Jesus 1,000 times. Because I knew I could not fix a thought on Jesus Christ. I knew I couldn't fix a thought on him. I would start thinking about Jesus, and I'd start thinking about my family. I think about Jesus, and I think about my work. I think about Jesus, and I think about the Jets. And I think about those. That's not usually good thoughts. I think about Jesus, you know, and I think about whatever I'd rather be doing. Usually pizza had something to do with it. I got pizza pajamas, by the way. Just want to throw that in there. When you set yourself to watch, what are you watching for? Jesus. You say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Please, Lord Jesus, show yourself to me, Lord Jesus. Come to me, Jesus. Come to me, Jesus. Please expand, open my mind to you, Jesus, so that I can see you, Lord Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Lord Jesus, please, please show me, Lord Jesus. And you know what I'd get? Correction. Inevitably, I would see ugly things in my own heart. I'd say, no, we don't want to do that prayer. Let's do another prayer. Praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. You know what I get? Correction. Because then all you got to do is open his Bible. You know, all those great scriptures that they quote to you, always do me a favor, open your Bible, read before them and after them. Because usually you'll find out it's a really great promise of God sandwiched between you're doing this wrong and you're doing this wrong. But I love you so much. But I love you so much. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you with me? What am I watching for? This is what you're going to get. You're going to get encouragement from the Father. You're going to get instruction. You're going to get vision. You're going to get correction. You're going to get desire. You're going to get direction. Everything that you desire from God, you're going to get in that place of watching. Amen?
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you today for listening to our podcast, On Fire Radio. We pray that this word has ministered to you today, and maybe today God has shown you your need for him in your life. John chapter 8, and in verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus makes us free from our sin. If you need to make Jesus first in your life today and be set free, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins today and ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life and ask that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can even download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and start a plan for new believers. Start a prayer life as well and start carving out time in your day to spend time with God. And I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Powerful worship, dynamic teaching, and an encouraging time of fellowship. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can partner with us in serving God's vision for this area by donating online at our website, www.cmcconline.org. From there, you can also connect with us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Send us a message and let us know how this ministry is impacting your life. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.